tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
The Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Celestion Speakers. Make sure to check out their new Celestion Creamback H. It provides a tighter low end and a more pronounced high end than the standard Creamback. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast.
Hey, Scott. Welcome, everybody. We have a big crowd in here tonight. I'm really excited about this show. It's going to be a very interesting show.
Yeah, it should be very cool. So what have you been up to? I know that you brought a special piece in for us today.
Yeah, the Celestion speakers that Celestion had given us to test, I put them in a cabinet, and a friend of mine played some guitar. We did a guitar track, actually a tribute to a friend of ours that had just passed away from cancer. And originally I had processed it. The original song that we finished was flanged, and I did some stuff. So I made a version of it, a smaller edited version of it, to show the speakers. The only thing I processed was the leads have a little bit of echo on them and a little bit of delay. So let me play that for you. But I'm using a Creamback, and I'm also using a vintage classic lead, which gave a little bit more mid-range bloom to the sound. And this is a Strat that was built from parts and that Henry had, and it's a killer. He did a great job. He wrote this thing. So here's the piece. Let me play it for you. So he was using the Chupacabra amp that he built for me, which is basically a modified Plexi with a little bit more gain. But that's the Celestion speakers. That's them. I mean, they just right on the money.
Yeah, I mean, the Creamback H and the Classic 80 are a good combination because they're, you know, totally different tonalities. I think they combine very well.
So thanks to Rick Skillman of Celestion for letting us have those speakers to play around with, and they sound great. So absolutely. What have you been up to?
Well, I just wanted to mention that I posted up the video last week's guest, Dan Boole, and demoing the 65 amps, the producer. And I have a clip. Go ahead and play that.
Okay, here we go.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I know that bass sound. Yes, that is Billy Sheehan, by the way, and he's going to be our guest next week. So, awesome. I just
cannot
wait.
I love that growl that he gets.
Oh, that's great. I want to meet him.
So it'll be a fantastic show. And while we're doing that, we're also giving away a Hartke Bass Attack pedal on that show. So make sure you go to our website, www.flowguitarenthusiast.com, and register for that. And, you know, maybe we'll have Billy sign it, whatever, you know.
You never know. So anyway, well, let's get on with the show, because there's so many people. Everybody here is really significant in the topic for tonight. And I want to try to get all the credit for all the credits for everybody correct. Tonight we're going to talk about women in music. And I just want to start out with saying, years ago when I was playing with my brother in college, a girl approached me when we were playing, and she said, you know, why don't you have a girl guitar player play in your band? And I really thought about it, because the only reason I never thought of it is I never met anybody that played. I mean, I knew some people that might, you know, play a little bit of finger picking or something that are singing, but I never saw a guitar player that really played, you know, all the rock stuff at that time. This was way years ago. So anyway, fast forward up to college, I'm over at SC, and I saw this band came up and played in the afternoon. We had like noon concerts, and it was Fanny with June Millington. She came out with a Sunburst Les Paul, little twin reverb, and it blew me away. Just the most incredible. That's the first time I actually saw a girl play, a woman play, that was like, wow, you know what I'm saying? So we did actually, a few years later, we had a very early incarnation of the Runaways came, and Lita and Joan Jett were there, but they didn't do a lot of lead stuff. They were, you know, it was the very early group. But anyway, fast forward to today, how many women players do we see out there? And I mean, Lita's a monster, but I'm, you know, and some of the players that we have here tonight are killer players. I mean, you guys are doing some amazing stuff. So what I wanted to talk about was basically how the industry's changed. Obviously, women are more prominent in music, and it's a bigger influence. But I also want to look at in the last 10 or 15 years and look at how much it's changed with the new technology, the new direction, and see what the opportunities are for women, what you guys think, because the people here, all women, most, I think everybody's a player. Sheena, do you play?
A little bit. I played a lot when I was a kid. It was
okay,
the first
so
thing I did.
Everybody here is a player. That's important. So we have all guitar players here. And so I'm going to go through and introduce everybody briefly, but I wanted to get their perspective, people that are playing, people that are in the industry, and not just as guitarists and musicians, because you'll see their jobs and their professions, it's beyond that. Because I think music now, it's more than just music. You're no longer a music artist, you're a media artist. And I think that it encompasses that. And the people here pretty much cover all those bases and then some. So first of all, I want to just go right around the line. Our first guest is Monique Caravello. She's done guitar tech. The first woman guitar tech I've ever met, and a great guitar tech, a great guitar player, knows her stuff, knows her gear. She's done tech services for Slash, Peter Frampton, Jerry Cantrell, Mike Inez, Danny Korchmar, among others. I mean, that speaks for itself. An alumnus from Musicians Institute, so she knows her stuff. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. She's a mom. So we're going to talk about that in music. The next person I want to talk about is Lisa, which we've had on our show a couple of times. She's a member of Incendio. She's a producer. She's done music composition for television and film. She's done, I think you guys have done music for a ballet, if I'm correct.
Yes.
And multi-instrumentalist. She's built her own and designed her own instrument, which I can't pronounce the name of, but I'll let you tell you.
It's a Zill.
A Zill. There you go. So anyway, she...
Not like my last name.
Yeah, Scott Zill. So anyway, but another person that's done production besides just being on the music end, she's been on the other end in composition and all of that, and engineering. Third person, Susan Olsen. She probably, everybody knows her, and she's probably heard this 3 million times as the actress. She played Cindy Brady on the Brady Bunch. But more importantly, she's a bass player. To me, that's very important. And but also she's a writer producer, and besides being a radio personality, she just did her show Next Door with Sheena, Two Chicks Talking Politics. So she's kind of in the whole media mainstream. She's also a successful graphic artist. She designed her own line of sneakers for Converse. And Scott, I think, you know, I'm thinking about a Flow guitar sneaker. Anyway, that's just a thought. So anyway, and she's a mom. Okay, and then last but not least, a very good friend of mine I've known for here. I mean, she's an icon here at LA Talk Radio. She's done, I'll just go through all her shows, as a radio personality, the Sheena Metal Experience, Music Highway, Haunted Playground, one of my favorites, and Two Chicks Talking Politics, which was just on. She's a director and producer. She's done both video and theater. She's the director of artists and repertoire for Maurice the Fish Records. She's a music supervisor for Avi Vox Entertainment. She has a company called Music Highway Productions, and she books and promotes concerts. I mean, she's covered the whole base. And then Music Highway Organization, she has 12,000-plus members, and it's one of the biggest and most artist-friendly music resources on the web. That's quite impressive. Welcome, all of you guys. It's totally an honor to have you guys.
But here. I'm not a mom.
That's okay.
Yes,
that,
you
that's
are.
Why I could do all that yeah. stuff. Because I'm not a mom.
So we
but
have,
you do have a cat and a dog.
Oh, I have fur children.
There you go. So you have
me too. I have fur children.
Yes. She, but the ones that Lisa and Sheena, a lot of pets. A lot of pets. So anyway, so
I have a lot of pets and a kid.
There you go. Now, let's go ahead and get started. I remember I want to start out with this first question and just let it go all the way around. Are you guys seeing now in terms of let's talk about the dark side of music. I remember in the past I worked with several singers and they had some pretty horrific experiences sometimes trying to get a deal. I remember them coming back and talking to me crying because basically they were auditioning for an A&R person, and basically they said, you know, yeah, let's talk about your career, but take your ring off. They were married. Have you guys experienced sexual harassment or chauvinistic, chauvinism? Do you see that now? I mean, you probably in your early life you might have seen, because it was very prevalent in the 70s and 80s, but do you see that now, or is it different? Anybody?
You know, it's kind of hard to say, because I think as you get older, you get wiser to that. And I think sexual harassment happens more to younger people because they think that you're more naive. So I'm sure it still happens. In the music business, it's an interesting thing because I think sexual harassment, when you see it in the workforce, there's supposedly laws in place that protect you. I think in the entertainment industry, people get away with it more. But at the same time, I think I've had plenty of friends that have just decked somebody, you know. And if you decked somebody, I think in the corporate world, you might get sued. But you're not going to get sued in the music or the film industry. People just, you know, so I don't know.
Well, I can see it more in the film industry. I could see it more because your image, especially like an actress, for example, your whole thing you're selling is your look, if you're really beautiful, you know, your body, it's that whole thing. And obviously people are going to try to take advantage of that. Now, music, yes, women are sexy up front if they're the front person for the group, but like guitar players and stuff like that, you're behind a guitar and you're playing.
You've got to be tough. To even go there.
Yeah.
You're going to have a different attitude. It's not the little girls that grow up with, you know, with the pretty frilly little dresses and want to play with dolls all the time usually don't want to pick up a guitar or bass.
That's true.
Yeah, you got to not be shocked by that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean you have to want to bring out the masculine side of yourself, cuz you need it.
Yeah.
Plus, it's not rock and roll till you kick someone in the nuts. But I mean, I think it's not just anything. And yes, we deal with it in the music industry every day, but we deal with it in life every day. I mean, when you grow up a girl, you grow up knowing that you're a minority, even though it's weird because we're actually the majority, but we still culturalize ourselves as a minority. And I think that in the entertainment business, when you're any kind of minority, whether you're a person of color or a woman or gay or whatever makes you disabled, whatever makes you part of a minority, you know in this business it's going to be an uphill climb for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard enough in this business when you're hot, young, straight, and male. But anything that makes you different is going to be hard in this business. I mean, even for being fat, I think, has been more crippling for me in the entertainment business than being a woman.
Really?
Because I was told once, many times, but one specific time, that I was not the right kind of woman. And even when I had then lost 200 pounds and came back all excited to be the right kind of woman, and this was in radio, it was, yeah, but you see, the thing is, it's just, you're still just not really...
And it's radio.
I think nobody wanted to say you're just really not really, you don't look like a porn star. I mean, I could, you know, move to Ethiopia, lose 600 pounds, and I still wouldn't look, still no one would put me in Playboy.
No, I can understand.
And I think that's hard for women, that if you're not that certain kind of girl, it's very hard in this business for you.
Yeah, I mean, looks count, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Even if you're behind the camera or, you know, behind the stage, the entertainment industry is very superficial in that way, and that's something my mom taught me. She's like, looks really count no matter what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's a little more freedom in music, though. I think we have more of an excuse to look grungy or overdressed. Yes. I think there's a lot more freedom as far as that goes compared to the acting industry. I think there's a little more pressure to go get the boob job and the eye lift and the cheek implants and all that other stuff if you're an actress. But as a musician, I mean, you can dress however you want. I just see a lot more freedom in music with that than anything else.
And you know, that really depends, too. If you're putting together your own band, then you can do what you want. But if you're joining an existing band, some people have an idea, like... I've been in auditioning for bands where, you know, they had enough white chicks, you know, now they wanted the black chick or they wanted the Mexican chick or, you know, whatever it was. So, you know, you get that, but you're going to get that in anything. I guess you're going to get that in a boy band, right? I mean, if they've got enough tough guys, then they want the sweet guy.
If it's a band that's being formed by a producer.
Yes, exactly.
Then that's what's going to happen. Or an existing band. A friend of mine joined a very high profile band, and it was really funny because just before they went on tour, she had to have a makeover. She got a haircut, dye, and all this stuff. And but to me, a real band, you know, is something that you form
exactly
with your friends, and you all know what you want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't feel bad, Sheena. I did a session back in when I was in the late 70s, and I was working with this producer, and. You know, I normally would go to sessions. I used to wear hang ten shirts back in those days. I'm dating myself. And jeans, like I normally wear, and tennis shoes. And my hair was like, it is now. It's a little short. It's
not
that long.
Did you have the vest?
No, actually, I didn't have the vest back then. I'm now known for my vest. But anyway, I was in there, and I was talking to the producer, and we were talking about effects and how to do stuff, because I was real into engineering at the time. And he, you know, and I told him, I said, because I was pretty young, I said, you know, people look at me as a kid, and they don't, you know, and he said, it's not that you look like a kid. He says, you don't look like a musician. You need to grow your hair out. You need to wear all these weird clothes and stuff like that. He said, that's why people just think you're like a normal kid. So don't feel so bad.
Right. And I've been through that too, because people can't see me because we're on the radio, but you know, I look like somebody's lawyer from Connecticut, and I am from Connecticut. I have tassels on my shoes and I've got a big white shirt on. I don't look rock and roll, but I'm totally rock and roll on the inside. You only have to know me for like 5 minutes to figure out that I just wear it all on the inside. I don't have to like get a blue mohawk to look rock and roll.
Right, right.
Well,
but
I think that too.
Some of the videos from the 70s, nobody was looking like a rock star back then. They had shirts and jeans and belts on.
Yeah.
No, there were. I mean, I remember seeing guys that were pretty outlandish in the late 70s, you know, and they would wear like really radical pink and purple flares.
Well, they do the Zeppelin thing.
It was two extremes. You had the guys that just went out there in their street clothes, and then you had the guys in the jumpsuits.
Right.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Right.
The white jumpsuits with all the bedazzles on.
Why don't drummers wear the spandex suits anymore? Seriously. It was the best.
I don't think so. I think spandex was... I'm glad it went away.
I don't know. You can move to bring that back, Scott.
The whole wrestling unitard is missing from the music industry right now. Come on. You guys remember.
Well, no.
Sorry.
You go first.
I just remembered the...
you can...
days of Firehouse.
You can wear spandex, but you can put it on your own page, not on the flow guitar. I'm sorry.
Did Peter Criss start that? He had like a kitty cat unitard.
Yeah.
He would wear.
It was amazing. It was like, how could they be rock stars and wear that? And yet they were. It was amazing.
Now, let me ask you guys, and you can all go around and answer this. In the last 10 or 15 years, are you seeing a difference from before, you know, gigging in terms of women and how you're placed in the industry? It seems to me that it's... it's pretty much, you know, the norm now. I'm not seeing like, oh, wow, you know, like I see Monique here and I've heard her play and she's an amazing player. And it's like, you know, I'm not like, wow, it's a girl and she plays. I mean, it's like more of a common thing. It's like, well, to me, it's it has nothing to do with gender. It has to do with you play guitar. Right. You know what I mean? That to me, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, but you're a musician.
True.
Yeah.
I do think the playing field's leveled out a little bit, though, because I remember back in the early 80s, you know, ooh, you have a girl band, you know, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
You know? And I was kind of oblivious to it because, you know, we're talking about, you know, you have to be kind of a tomboy to get the rock and roll out. I was always a tomboy, so.
But have you seen other guitar players that you play with threatened by you? Because you play a mean guitar.
I can't say no. But in general, everybody's pretty gracious, you know, the last couple of years that we've been out playing. A lot of compliments. And every once in a while, wow, you're really good for a girl, you know. And they don't even know they're saying it, you know. It's just a typical response. But for the most part, you don't really hear that. There's just a lot of good musicians out there. And I just don't hear the comments as much as I used to back in the 80s. Back in the 80s, you heard a lot of commentary about girls.
But don't you think a lot of that, too, was that... I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Susan. In the 80s... they were putting these sort of bands together where the girls were picked because they were hot,
and they were
sort of teaching them to bar chord and teaching the girls to play, like,
really
quarter
bad.
Notes. And it was like, okay, I'll play, but I won't break a nail, and I don't want to tear my thong. And it was really, the whole thing was about how hot are we, and sometimes the playing kind of suffered.
Oh, sure.
Okay,
yeah,
the playing sucked a lot.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, it sort of became this this thing that oh, God, okay, it's a girl band.
Yeah. No.
Well, yeah, and I see, that's one of the things that kind of bothers me, because I still see a gender apartheid, that girls tend to be in girl bands. And it's rare to see a band where there's just one girl, and she's not the bass player, who's actually the wife of somebody else in the band, and she's not singing or shaking a tambourine.
Right. It is rare.
I started playing bass before it became the token female position in an all-male band, but at least, you know, they were actually allowing a band to have one girl in it.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to see a band where it was all men, and the girl was the lead guitarist.
Yeah, that...
Jimmy Page.
And that's happening every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, there's Teresa Russell. I don't know if you know her, but she's amazing. And there's a few out there. But
There's Grace Potter. Orianthe, I think, is amazing.
Yeah, and Orianthe.
I'd rather see Orianthe be in a band, you know, rather than doing these kind of gimmicky...
But she is now. She's got a wonderful solo project, and she does tour with that. Yeah. But I think most of her money comes from touring...
She's a hired gun. She plays with Alice.
Her original, she's got a fantastic album that that Dave Stewart produced, and it's wonderful.
And she does this little duet with Steve Vai.
Oh, that was a cool video.
But I don't know. I would rather see her be in a really, really great band rather than be doing a solo project. Yeah.
But, you know, I still see that. I mean, I play bass and I play nylon string guitar in Incendio. Sometimes we have a female bass player. And we'd probably do 150 shows a year all over the country. And probably every show, somebody comes up to me and says, wow, a female bass player. I've never seen one before. And I think, what, do you never get out? You know? But, you know, but again, I'm saying you're a musician, but there's a lot of people, and we're sort of in our musician bubble. There's still a ton of people out there that think that we're something extremely unique.
Yeah. Well, I've seen a friend of mine when I was in college. She was into guitar, and I was a guitar major. So her boyfriend was a lawyer. He had a Les Paul, and he just thought it was really hot. So she wanted to impress him. So I showed her some little riffs that were kind of cool, not hard to do, but they sounded really great. So she told me, she went home, and he was over there, and she said, check this out. And she started just shredding away, and he's like, let's go eat. I've seen guitarists, I've seen other bands, I saw them get very threatened, you know. I even saw it at school. Now this was a while ago, this was in the 70s, but I mean, I did see that they were threatened by that. But I mean,
but you know, it's not just a male female thing. I mean, sometimes when you're really good,
it's just a player thing.
Or you're really good at something,
exactly,
other people will get very threatened by it.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're in a two-musician relationship of some kind or a friendship, it often becomes like, but wait a minute, I'm the real musician and you're the dot dot dot. I know as a vocalist in a band, it's a comedy band, and no, I'm not a full-time musician, but oftentimes there's sort of this like, okay, why don't you just get people to come to the show and let us deal with the music?
Ooh.
And in a way, I get that because I'm not a full-time musician. But in another respect, it's like, okay, well, here's a newsflash. If I don't get people to come to the show, the music will be like the tree falling in the forest.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times there's this attitude like, well, we're real musicians. Like, singers aren't real musicians. And a lot of singers write. And even if you just are a lyricist, you're still a real musician. So I think this whole kind of attitude of what's a real musician or like, oh, that's just the drummer. A lot of times I think lead guitar players, they do have like this thing like, well, if you're not the lead guitar player, you're not, you're just the guy that plays the riffs and the chords. Okay, you're a guitar player.
Just ended a friendship over somebody saying playing the bass is like playing the kazoo.
What?
What?
Yeah.
I play kazoo.
That, you know, that comes, that really comes from such ignorance to say something like that.
Yeah, friendship's over.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
Kicked her to the curb.
It's interesting what Sheena said because the, for example, at 6 o'clock on this channel on LA Talk Radio is a show called Accent On with Ilona Europa, and she came in and I introduced her to JP and Lisa. She's got a master's in music and vocal. I mean, she's
awesome.
She's got a master's means a lot. That's theory, composition. She knows all of it. And she's really knowledgeable about her stuff. I mean, I've met vocalists that, you know, that just they've had degrees and or even not degrees, but they knew their music. And I mean, I've been fortunate to work with some really interesting vocalists that really did. I just don't get that.
But, you know, I have to say, I don't get that as much from people that are really good because they just want to talk about guitar and music. And if you're good, then they want to discuss that with you. When I get attitude from people, I generally know they're not very good. Right?
Well,
I mean,
totally
isn't that true?
People when you're talking to
them. Because people that are good, they want to discuss it with you. It's like it's a passion for everyone.
I wish I could so agree with you 100%, but I have known some really talented people that were terrible douches.
Oh, well, no, that's true. There's always the exception.
And I didn't like their music anymore because all I could think about was their douchiness.
Yeah, no, that's
that
true.
That totally killed good music for me.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you're a douche, send me a CD, but I don't really want to know what you're like in person. Please do not ever contact me.
Yeah, we won't say anything. But
we won't name any names.
Yeah. Play, but don't talk.
But for the most part, talented people are wonderful.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you guys. This question will not be
relevant. No, we're not doing the jumpsuits.
No, well... No,
I'll
that's for
it.
Me.
I'll wear it.
Later.
I'll wear it.
JP will do the jumpsuit. But that's another
story. Well, then, yes. Are you guys familiar with Beth Hart?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. So.
Major fan.
How do you guys feel about the album that she was most famous for with LA Song? I cannot remember the name of it right now. But to me, that album was produced down to be poppy because I think she was a woman. And when she plays live, she's a rocker.
Yeah, I don't listen
and
to
I was
album
disappointed
tracks.
To hear her actual album. Is that something you guys find that still happens? Because it bothers me. Like, I wanted to hear her just rock it out on the album, and it was not.
You know what? I think that's what the whole independent artist thing is great for, because now we're not subject to labels so much. It's not even desirable for the most part to go for a record deal anymore.
Yeah.
It's more desirable to go and record your own thing and do it the way you want to. And put it out there, and if it goes, it goes. If it doesn't, it doesn't, and you're still satisfied because you did it the way you wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So as far as Beth Hart goes, I did hear the tracks, and I thought, that's kind of weak. But then if you watch...
Watch her live. She's
amazing.
She watched
the, what was it, the Denmark show?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
She's
amazing. I used to play that every morning as I was working on guitars. I'd just pop open my laptop and put that show on, and woo.
Yeah, and now she's doing stuff with Joe Bonamassa, which is amazing.
Yeah, she's my goal, too.
Yeah,
she's fantastic.
I've noticed the production of songs will just ruin it for me. And I'm a big fan of Hart, and I'm going to be seeing them on Friday. And I got this Greatest Hits album for my son. And I was a big fan when they started out. And on the second CD, it had their hits from the 80s. I thought, oh, my God. I forgot how much I hated them. I couldn't stand
Susan
them.
Is no longer going to see Hart on Friday.
No, but the thing is, they hated them too.
Yeah,
they hated
yeah,
what
yeah.
was going on with
Wasn't
them.
Wasn't it the early 90s?
It was late 80s, early 90s,
right, late 80s.
And,
yeah.
And now they will play some of those songs in concert, and they're great songs.
Yeah.
But when you hear the way they were originally recorded, it's
yeah,
so,
the whole showbiz thing, yeah. Took the life right out of them,
yes,
I agree.
Yes,
but
and
that was
great
an amazing
songs.
Comeback for them, and that gave them another 20 years.
Yeah.
Because it kick-started them. Sometimes you just kind of have to eat it. So
well, in those early days, a lot of their image and a lot of that was determined. People were telling them what to do. It was later that they actually probably got more freedom to just do what they
but
wanted.
But that was in the period where they were stretching Anne out so that she looked like a giraffe. So we couldn't tell she was heavy. I mean,
yeah,
really,
I remember that.
Yeah,
like, seriously, you could stretch my photo around the earth and you could still tell I'm fat. That's ridiculous. But it was like people like, oh, well, don't let anybody know she's fat. And they were covering her up. And
yeah, and that was
like she was in a burqa on the album cover.
That was terribly hard.
To help her lose weight.
But I saw them during that time. I saw the Bad Animals tour live in college. And I thought that that they were amazing live. And I didn't feel they'd been commercialized at all, but I was 19, so maybe I didn't know that much about commercialization at the time.
But they probably had more freedom.
But I do know
live.
That Anne came out and did like a 20-minute flute solo before Dog and Butterfly.
Oh, wow.
She
that
just came
amazing.
Out by herself, and she just played that damn flute, and people just sat there very, very quiet and listened to it. And then they did Dog and Butterfly, which is my favorite Heart song. Because I don't, and I'm really trying to sell myself as a rocker during this show, Jeff. I'm not doing a very good job.
Yeah.
Okay, mine is Mistral Wind.
Oh,
there you go. No, but no, that's true. But see, but that's another thing too. Your taste in music, all of you guys, is a pretty varied. Music's music, and it transcends all of that. You're not locked into one thing, and I think that's what gives you your perspective. I think you have a great perspective because you've, of anybody, Sheena, you've covered every aspect I've ever seen of any possible thing with media and music. And everything. So that's pretty, you know, that gives you a good idea.
Because I'm not a mom.
There you go, because you're not a mom. Now, let me ask you, speaking of moms, okay, let's talk to the moms here, is how do you deal with, how do you balance your music? Or in Susan's case, you do all these other things too, and you with your guitar tech, how do you balance that with your family? Is that hard? I'm not married, so I don't know this thing, but I'm just curious, is that difficult? Is that a challenge more for a woman than even a guy that has kids, or
it's always harder for a mother.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it hard to find the balance, or is it pretty? You're okay with? It? I mean,
I haven't been working enough to be concerned about the balance.
Oh
lately.
Okay.
but actually, my son's older now. And he's more able to take care of himself. He's 17. But I always thought it was enriching to him to expose him to the various art mediums that I was interested in. And, I actually kind of almost regret it because, like, he was very young.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're somewhere and, Paul Stanley's there. And Michael had just been playing his handheld version of Guitar Hero, playing Strutter. And I go, Mike, that song that you were just playing, well, this is the guy that sings it. And, I started introducing him to people, and I think Mike got in his head that, well, it's easy,
Yeah.
Everybody's a rock star, and so, you don't really have to do anything to be successful. But he's just starting into music theory, so he's going to see that it's there's some work involved.
Yeah. Well, I met him a couple of times when he was here, and he played a couple of my guitars. He does know a little. He's pretty knowledgeable.
That's all pretty much self-taught.
Yeah. No, he's and he's another bass player, too. Or he said he was going
to. Yes, yeah. He'd rather play bass.
Yeah. Now, Monique, you have younger kids. How do you do the
integration? I call them bigs, middles, and littles. I have six. And they go, let's see, from the youngest to the oldest is 6, 8, 13, 15, almost 18, and 19. And I grew up the only musician in my family, but I've been lucky enough that all of them are musically gifted. Part of it, I think, is my mandatory requirement of at least a year of piano, because I've always been jealous of people that can play piano.
Okay.
I can play, but it takes me a real long time to get through a piece of music. It's not as natural as guitar for me. But my oldest daughter plays bass. My oldest son plays piano brilliantly. But we live in a weird time, you know, with all these video games and all the social media and all that. Like with my oldest son, I had to kind of make a deal with him at one point. I said, you've been on the Xbox for 2 hours. Why don't you pull the music from the background on that and learn it on the piano? That way I don't get so upset about you being on that for so long. And he started learning all these Final Fantasy tunes. And it was
smart.
Amazing.
That was
amazing.
Smart.
That is good.
My kid does that.
Oh, he's a great pianist. And then my second oldest son, he's a skater dude, but he's a closet guitar player. He won't admit that he's actually a natural at it. My second oldest daughter, she's the one that dances. I don't know how she does that. I'm safe standing there with my guitar. So I'm really impressed with her. But she plays guitar. She picked it up, you know, like a natural. She plays piano, picked that up like a natural. And my two youngest ones are singing on pitch. And my 8-year-old's in piano lessons now. And my 6-year-old is, you know, knocking on the drums. And
how do they react to you gigging? Are they real into it?
They like watching the videos, you know, when we do a show.
Do they ever come down and see you live?
Yeah, we did it. We opened for Lee Rocker in January, and a couple of my kids were there, and they loved it.
That's so cool. That is really cool.
And then there's times when they're like, yeah, whatever. That's what she does. Yeah, okay, whatever.
Well, you have enough. You just need one of them to start playing drums, and I think you have a band.
Well, actually, I should have said my 13-year-old daughter, she's playing drums too. So she's drums, guitar, and piano right now. So, wow, that's all I can say to that.
I think we have a band here.
Yeah. And they're good. They're natural. They're not like, you know, just single finger on the piano. I mean, I'm talking real stuff here.
Well, that's the ear training from you playing all that stuff they hear.
Yeah.
When I was in school, we learned about, they did a study on child prodigies. And they said that the earlier you start learning and the earlier you start processing hearing sounds, the longer you retain that. So like Rachmaninoff at the time was one of the guys were studying. At 80, he could learn a new piece on the piano. And so a lot of my friends that have had kids recently, what I've told them to do is just play different styles of music, not just what you listen to, but like on their little radio in their room, put classical on one night, put jazz, put country, whatever it is. And they start picking that up, and by the time they're like 4, they start processing it. And one of my friends saw his daughter go over to the piano and start playing melodies. Mm-hmm. She started just picking it all together.
Well, I'm actually having a daughter in October. Well, assuming she comes when she's supposed to. But if she comes in October, I'm still trying to debate which Hendrix song I play for her first.
As she comes out?
Yes, actually, I want to play something the day of, but I don't
Little
know
Wing.
What.
Little Wing.
I was just going to say
Little Wing.
See, I think, well, see, Little Wing would be good.
I was just going to say that.
And I'm also thinking Bold as Love.
Little Wing.
I love When Cries Mary.
That's another good one. I don't know.
Oh, I like that.
Then I love Stevie Ray Vaughan so much, then I was thinking, what if I just played Voodoo Child and I cover both of them in one song with Stevie
River
Ray Vaughan?
River Paradise, if you're going to go Vaughan.
I was just going to say that. We're talking later.
Yeah. If you're going to
like
go Vaughan,
mine.
Most definitely.
Yes.
And just for the record, I think my cat is the next Eddie Van Halen. Just
your cat?
I want to see.
Exposing her to music from a very young age, and she completely rocks. You know, I was 4 when my mom started me with guitar. Yeah, no, she mostly bar chords with her paws, but I was just shy of 5 when my mom started me.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was because she thought I was going to be some big musician. I think she just realized that I had a very big overactive brain, and she was looking for something for me to do with it that wasn't sit around and be bored and get into trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, my mom used to play music in our house all the time, and my brother started he was 5 and a half, and he started playing, and my mom noticed, I just remember we started on accordion. I don't know what that means, if that counts as a keyboard or not. But anyway, so I picked it up and then started playing by ear. And I guess my mom noticed this, and the teacher noticed this. And he's like, we better start him because he's learning all the bad habits, which is the story of my life. I always did everything the wrong way. But and then I started playing guitar. So I started at 4 and a half. But I think it was because we had music on all the time. My mom had the radio on in the car, whatever it is. And And for yourselves, the moms here are so musically inclined. You're listening to music all the time, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good thing. I think that's really cool.
I always played music for my son. When he was a baby, he would go sleep in his crib, and I'd vary it up. There'd be the soundtrack to Edward Scissorhands, or there'd be Harry Belafonte or Bob Marley.
Mm-hmm.
And so he grew up with hearing music from the very, very beginning.
Yeah, that's good.
No, and are your kids good at math?
Yeah, about 50-50.
Oh, okay. Because they say that, you know, learning piano, learning music helps with math.
Yeah, I was good in math.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah.
So we did this festival called the Karpluki Festival, and there was this group called the Andersons, and it was mom and dad and their five kids.
Wow.
And we said, have you always played? He goes, no, I just wanted to learn to play guitar, so every time I had a kid, I gave him a new instrument to accompany me. And they killed it. They played banjo, violin. They all sang. Even the four-year-old was out there on the violin, just bup, 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 bup.
Oh, yeah.
And it was amazing.
Yeah, I've seen families like that.
Yeah.
Have you seen Sleepy Man Banjo Band?
No.
You guys have got to YouTube them, because then you'll want to know what they're feeding those kids. It's ridiculous. It's amazing. They're the best.
Maybe sugar could be a really good thing in bluegrass.
Yeah, like they, well, you know, it's like the main person is a banjo player. He's like 9 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And the reason why they're called Sleepy Man Banjo is because he's so small he couldn't hold the banjo, so he would always lay on the bed playing.
Mm.
Anyways, so ridiculously good. Check him out.
Now we're getting close we got about another 7 minutes, and this is a pretty heavy question that I want to ask everybody here. We talked a little bit at the beginning about how the industries change, and one of the things I think it is true, you have to be a media artist now. And it's no longer just, you know, just playing your instrument. You know, we touched on this a little bit in our show with Nick Stubbs and Alan Hines about music schools, and you guys can download that if you want. It's the 527 show that we did. And I think that they both expressed that you definitely need to understand the use of social media, web videos, web media, web audio, et cetera.
Definitely.
Now, what I want to ask you guys is, it's kind of a combo question, is, you know, what are your feelings about being a media artist and what that entails, but also too, what does the future hold, and what is your recommendation for new and aspiring media artists, not just musicians, but media artists? And because you guys cover the whole gambit, all of you guys, I think, you know, you pretty much cover every aspect of what media is. So whoever wants to jump in.
Well, you mean just as far as using Facebook, social media? I mean, all these things you have to. That it helps promote your band. We see it all the time. I mean, people show up at our gigs from Facebook postings, from being on Pandora. You have to. I mean,
but you use video a lot. You have a lot of videos.
Well, we have a lot of video, and people shoot us all the time, and we show up, you know, right the next day or right after the gig. So, I mean, you can't get away from it. The best thing you can do, I mean, you have to embrace it. And the more you do, the more you have control over your success. Just like Monique was saying, I mean, this gives independent artists the freedom that we never had before. Right. We've got fans all over the world because of this. We can control our destiny as far as people buying our music, seeing us, how we represent ourselves on YouTube.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's amazing.
But I don't think people realize it's much more than playing a bass or playing a guitar. Your engineering, your mix, you know, in mixing part of engineering, your production skills. A lot of people don't really understand that. All of you guys, you know how to mic a guitar.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? 20 years ago, you just played your acts. It wasn't a big deal. You know how to do that. And yes, you know how to use the social media to market yourself, because that is the marketing now. Okay. And since the labels are pretty much dissolved,
well,
your own label.
You have that opportunity now to learn to record yourself, to learn to use DP, use mics, you know, all of it. It's there. It's affordable. It's at our disposal. And anybody that wants to take the time to learn can. You know, we can do that now, and we can control things, which is amazing.
You have to balance it out, though, because you can get so sucked into, I got to make sure I post on here and post on there and post on here and post on there, and then all of a sudden you don't have time for recording or your instrument, because now you're just worried about social media. But
it is extremely important. If you're not on some of these pages that everybody's on, it's going to be the difference between nobody showing up and 200 people showing up or 2,000 people showing up.
Right. Yeah.
And you can't be afraid to be a public figure. You can't be afraid to put yourself out there and be afraid of criticism, because everybody is going to be subject to it on YouTube and Facebook and Reverb Nation. And, you know, we've had people that were just jealous and putting crappy comments on YouTube videos. And then we've had people just talking us, you know, talking us up and praising us for different performances. You know, you just, I'm sure you guys have,
yeah, of course,
you know, met with that kind of.
But I mean, I think it's really cool. I remember last year at NAMM, I was walking around with JP and Lisa. We were checking out stuff, and even when we had Lisa on our show, we were talking about her recording. It's just, to me, it's like totally cool to be able to sit there and hear Lisa say, well, you know, I was using this mic, I tried this ribbon, but I was using this condenser and I mic'd it this way, and it's like, that is just, you know, I love, it's like uber geek talk, you know.
It is, but right, I mean, years ago we couldn't do that, you know, you couldn't afford to. But now, I mean, it's so affordable, and then you can take however many takes you need.
Right.
Yeah. Or even talking Monique before the show, you know, we're talking about different amps and, you know, then it, what she likes and guitars. I mean, pickups, you know, how to do that. And since you're a tech, you're telling me, okay, you can get your neck this way, you can do this with. I mean, it's just totally cool. I like it. I mean, I'm a gear person anyway. It's anybody that talks guitar, anybody that talks amps, mics, I'm there, you know.
Oh, it's pretty cool. Especially nice if it's a girl.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know,
that makes it, that's,
I like
true.
JP a lot, but Lisa, it's just much nicer to talk to Lisa about. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, there's so many things like radio airplay. You can get your stuff on radio airplay. And you've got fans suddenly all over the world that you are interacting with. You get your stuff on Pandora, and you've got people liking you all over the world. And then you interact with these people, and you start getting just getting your music and yourself everywhere. And then, you know, you post your videos on YouTube. It's just...
Oh, it's amazing. Right? I have friends in Pakistan and Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, that was in the early 80s, that wasn't happening. It was, you know, the local scene. Now it's, you know, you put your stuff out there, and... You have people approaching you all the time from everywhere.
Yeah.
And you used to have to depend on the label
to
sell you. And, you know, some other new flavor comes along. They're too busy with them. They don't have any time for you.
Yeah.
And now it's all, you know, there's so much more control.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a lot harder to be mysterious these days. You know, I'm thinking back, like, you know, in the old days, Led Zeppelin, part of their mystique was the fact that they didn't do interviews. You know, you never saw them on TV. They
were
just
Steely Dan for me.
Guys.
It's like, who are these people in Steely Dan?
Yeah, you know? Really, yeah.
I always wanted to know.
Like, how many are there?
Yeah,
exactly.
And it was very rare you got pictures of them in the studio.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I always think about the Atlanta Rhythm Section. I think they are one of the most awesome bands, but one of the ugliest bands. And right when MTV came around, they were done. And I think they went the way of things like the AIDS diet candy, where they just did not fit for the world anymore.
They just did a lot of session work after that. They kind of broke up in pieces.
Amazing players, amazing songs. Some of my favorite albums are theirs. But
you know,
sometimes the world grows in a different direction for you.
Yeah.
And fantastic band, but their bass player looked like Jabba the Hutt. And then everything suddenly was videos. And, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of crazed talent in the first New Wave movement. But, boy, there was a lot of cute people jumping around, cute little blonde girls and cute little boys with their hair pulled forward from England and little suits and thin ties. And that was pretty much, you know, a generation of music that MTV built based on looks.
Yeah.
But did you guys really like the bangs and the standing up hair that the guys wore in the 80s? I mean, really?
No.
Okay, good, because it just didn't make any sense.
No, but I remember...
But the spandex for the drummers makes sense.
I remember auditioning for a band and, you know, looking at Music Connection, and there's like, guitarist needed, send photo. Like, whatever happened to send a tape of...
Send a photo.
You know.
What was it? It was Gazzari's, I think. And my stage, all my bands have foxy guys. If the band don't have foxy guys, they don't play on my stage.
That's right.
That
he said that.
Right. My first gig was at Gazzari's at 13.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And that was back when they required you to wear those tight spandex type pants.
Oh, yeah.
That was your era, Scott. That's where it was. We're at the end of the show, and obviously we just touched the surface of all this stuff. We'll have to have you guys definitely back. It's totally a pleasure. Is there anything you'd like to say, any final words or anything, or any advice for any newcomers? Anything for somebody aspiring to be a...
Don't stop believing. No matter what you look like, who you are, whether you think you're talented or not, the most important thing is that you do it, because if you're not doing it, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, definitely. Amen, you just got to go for it.
Yeah. And you guys definitely are a good example of doing it and happening now. I want to thank all of you guys. It's just truly a privilege to have you all here. It's great. We can go on for hours just talking about this stuff. Everybody, incendioband.com. Sheena, you can check on LA Talk Radio. There's like 3 zillion websites for her. Susan?
I'm on Facebook.
Okay, so yeah, she's on Facebook. Yeah, Monique is
on Facebook too.
Facebook,
yeah.
And check out all of their Facebook pages. There's some really interesting stuff up there.
Lots of shows coming up for everybody.
Yeah, and then Monique is posting a lot of videos and some really cool guitar work. You need to check that out.
Zeppelin Tribute Heart Show coming up in September at Canyon Club. I'm Nancy. Hi.
Cool.
Susan would like to publicly apologize for her whole thing about heart sucking for 2 decades. To Monique, now that we know she's Nancy.
Anyway.
I apologize to Heart and to all Heart tribute bands.
So, everybody, we'd love to have you join us next week. It's going to be Billy Sheehan.
Yep. And we want to thank our sponsor, Celestion Speakers.
Speakers, yes. Very cool speakers. And thanks again for letting us use those speakers. That was... Henry really had a fun time playing them through that amp and those speakers. It sounded really good.
But Billy Sheehan, come on, guys. Next week, Billy Sheehan. Call in. He'll be able to ask.
I want
to
ask him if he does something to those bass necks when he bends the neck down. Those are bolt-on necks. He has to do something so it doesn't snap off.
If you'd just tell him to call me.
Oh, that's true. That's true. If I try to do the Billy Sheehan thing and I mess it up, I'll just call Mooney. Can you fix my bass, please? Anyway, everybody, thank you so much. And everybody out there, good night. Have a great week, and we will see you next week.
Thanks, guys.